Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. On June 22nd, Aalto President and CEO Martin Imbleau released the What We Heard report alongside Stephen McKinnon, Minister of Transport and the leader of the government in the House of Commons. The report, which was published online and delivered at a press conference in Kingston, took into account public feedback gathered during the first phase of Aalto High-Speed Rail's consultation process, including conversations with Indigenous communities along the Toronto-Quebec City corridor and concerns from agricultural producers, landowners, and rural communities related to impacts on and access to rural property.
Over 100 days between January and April, we conducted consultations to deepen our understanding of the corridor. We made a deliberate decision to engage early and before key decisions were made. That means that we did not have all the answers. We wanted to meet people and to listen first. We did not want to show up with a predetermined alignment. It could have been faster, but it would not have been appropriate for what comes next. 10,000 people attended the open houses. Minister said it. 300,000 people online. That is historical. We also conducted meetings with the Indigenous communities. We had meetings with 30 of the communities. And what we did was a critical step. And throughout the first consultation period, a few key themes arise consistently. Of course, land acquisition, protection of agricultural land, environmental impacts, quality of life. And these concerns will directly inform the next phase of our planning. Agricultural land was our major focus. At the end of April, very recently, we put our commitment on paper. First, we want to minimize the impact. We want to prioritize the agreements from a willing seller, willing buyer with the farmers, provide a fair compensation, and ensure access will be maintained while supporting long-term productivity of the farmers.
Minister McKinnon had this to say.
We have heard how popular this project is, but also about important considerations, and yes, concerns that many Canadians have. And I want to acknowledge those concerns. I want to acknowledge those fears. I want to say to those who are in the agricultural sector, those who own land, we understand. I come from a farming family myself. We understand how attached people are to their farms, to their land, to their heritage, to their legacy. And I have directed Aalto to proceed with extreme sensitivity, to respectfully deal with landowners who will end up along this route, this 60 meter wide corridor that has to, in most cases, travel in a straight line because high speed rail does not like curves. But we will proceed with the least possible impact on people's properties, with the least possible and least intrusive impact possible on our natural environment. And Canadians want us to do that as well. We will not cut corners when it comes to respect. We will not cut corners when it comes to sensitivity.
Following a review of the report, Minister McKinnon directed Aalto to develop a plan to assess a southern route option between Peterborough and Ottawa that included a potential stop in Kingston with Via Rail service integration.
But one of the other things that has become very clear to us, hence our presence here today, is how strongly the people of Kingston and this area feel about being included. And today, I'm pleased to be able to say, we heard you. We also heard from those in Cornwall, in Gananoque, Napanee, in Belleville, Trenton, Cobourg, Port Hope, and yes, even Oshawa, who also want to be connected to this incredible network. So we are formally asking Aalto to develop a plan to assess a southern route option between Peterborough and Ottawa that includes a stop in Kingston that would interconnect yes, interconnect with Via Rail services, subject to technical feasibility and project requirement.
The plea for Kingston was consistent, strategic, well-organized, and definitely preliminary analysis showed that a stop in Kingston could have a positive impact on ridership. And as the minister said it, a big portion of the population would be within 20, 25 minutes of a train station, which will be transformational.
Mayor Patterson was on hand to share his enthusiasm for the project as well.
We, of course, are very encouraged and excited by the potential to have a high-speed rail stop here in Kingston, and very excited by the potential to be able to have a hub that would link in with Via Rail, being able to connect this entire region, the province and beyond, with both conventional and high-speed rail. There's been a lot of conversation about high-speed rail, obviously in our community and across the region over the last number of months, and I think of particularly one comment that a resident shared with me, that he'd done the numbers and he said, you know, that on a per capita basis, the Kingston is probably the most successful rail-oriented community in the entire country. And I think it's very fitting and exciting that Kingston can, and I think very much should, play a role in the future of what that rail infrastructure should look like. Whatever is going to be built to improve rail infrastructure, we want to be a part of it and we want to help support it. As has already been said, we have so many national and regional institutions here in Kingston: Queen's University, Royal Military College, St. Lawrence College, we have Kingston Health Sciences Center, we have CFB Kingston, and of course a diverse and growing private sector as well. And so it's never been more important for our community, for people to be able to get to and from here and across the region. And we think that this is a really positive and encouraging step forward on that front.
Kingston City Council has since signed a non-disclosure agreement, NDA, with Alto as part of the development of the high-speed rail line through the region, which has sparked concerns with the Alto HSR Citizen Research Initiative, who had petitioned the city not to sign the agreement and is now saying, quote, "The objection is not that confidential material was shared confidentially. It is that information was withheld until silence was promised, that access to the facts was made conditional on a commitment not to use them. It is now on the city's own account, a description of Kingston." A city spokesperson explained that the NDA applies to all city staff and councillors and was needed for the city to receive any technical information from Alto. The Citizen Research Initiative rejected this claim, noting that the bargain Kingston accepted, silence in exchange for information, was offered on the premise that there was no alternative. Two neighboring counties declined it, and one of them proceeded to put the promoter's own material on the public record. The alternative existed, and Kingston did not take it, and it is not explained why. The counties referenced are Stormont, Dundas, Glengarry, and United Counties of Prescott and Russell, whose councils turned down the requests in June and May, respectively. Last week, Transport Action Canada, a nonprofit citizen-based organization that promotes sustainable transport and functions as a consumer-based advocacy group, sent a letter to Minister McKinnon and issued a press release outlining their support for the Kingston stop, with some concerns. In their press release, TAC notes that it has had a decades-long history of advocating for high-speed rail in the Quebec-Windsor corridor, including providing input on various proposals that have preceded Alto. While pleased with the concept in principle, TAC says they are cautious about fully endorsing the project unless the stop in Kingston is closely integrated with the existing Via Rail station, arguing a stop at the proposed southern alignment, a 25 to 30-minute drive north of Kingston, would significantly harm the high-speed rail's ability to connect effectively with Via Rail services. According to Alto, it is expected that the high-speed rail would reduce travel times between Kingston and Toronto to approximately 90 minutes. Current travel times on Via Rail range from 2 hours and 19 minutes to 2 hours and 45 minutes. Alto states that inclusion on their HSR route would establish Kingston as a key regional mobility hub, improving connections and placing up to 80% of residents between Peterborough and Ottawa within a 25-minute drive of a station. According to a city council report that was sent to the minister to plead Kingston's case for the stop on the route, Kingston is Via Rail's fourth busiest station.
Plus, between St. Lawrence, Queens, and RMC, you have an additional 35,000 students who regularly travel back and forth to other cities. And you're already a hub for regional connectivity, with the fourth busiest Via Rail station in Canada. I was amazed to read that statistic. One that serves as a key anchor in a proven and robust rail culture.
While connections with Via Rail services are considered integral to the high-speed rail's successful integration into the public transport landscape by Transport Action Canada, they flagged Via Rail's poor track record for on-time services, which they argue must be addressed if the government wants to instill confidence in constituents that Alto can meet its service goals. They call for improvements to the current regulatory and operational framework governing access to Metrolinx, a Government of Ontario agency created to improve the coordination and integration of transportation in the GTA and Hamilton, and CN infrastructure, as well as clear federal leadership to address persistent dispatching delays, infrastructure bottlenecks, and access arrangements. It is quite hard, they say, to make a competitive connection when one service can regularly be expected to be 30-plus minutes late. According to a quarterly report released by Via Rail in 2025, on-time performance fell sharply from 72% in Q1 2024 to just 30% in the first quarter of 2025, something they blamed on what they called arbitrary operational restrictions imposed by CN Rail in the Quebec City to Windsor corridor, leading to longer travel times and reduced service reliability. Transport Action Canada says it remains optimistic and broadly supportive of the project and hopes that, much like in the case of a Kingston stop, the government remains open to constructive input to deliver a much-needed service to Canadians.
We do not approach this work with anything other than a lot of respect for the work that needs to get done, for overcoming the doubts that people may have, but also to continue building the great excitement that Canada can be a home for high-speed rail, something we arguably should have done decades ago. But we are beginning in earnest today.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part five of your OUA football season preview, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. We have finally reached the playoff tier of OUA teams, and we are looking at the Ottawa GGs. And I'll be honest, everybody seemed to buy into the Ottawa hype but me. They cruised to a 2-0 start before being smacked down by Western. To the team's credit, they rebounded to upend Guelph in what I think was a pretty big upset, 30-23, moving them to 3-1 on the season. They gave Laurier their best game of the regular season, losing 30-24 on a failed goal line play. So they came within inches of upsetting the defending champs. That game took a lot out of the GGs, both physically and mentally, because they went on a bit of a skid afterwards with a shocking loss to Carleton in the Panda Bowl before another narrow loss, this time to Windsor, which came about in almost the exact same way they lost to Laurier, a failed final minute play. The GGs escaped Toronto with a 23-16 win to clinch a playoff spot, and then, in an eerily similar replay to their regular season game against Windsor, Ottawa had a chance to win it late, but quarterback Josh Jansen threw a costly interception to end their season. Let's take a closer look at Ottawa's 2025 stats. They finished 8th in points for with 204, which is about 25.5 points per game. They finished 7th in total yards with 3,147. They finished 4th in passing yards with 2,535. They finished 10th in rushing yards with 807, just a hair over 100 per game. They lived and died by the pass all season long. Their defense was excellent in 2025. They were 4th in total points, giving up 203, which is about 25.4 points per game. Remember, they scored 25.5, just to give you an idea of how competitive this team could be. They were 3rd in pass yards allowed per game at 243.8, 5th in rush yards allowed per game at 146, finishing 3rd overall in total yards allowed per game. So this defense was excellent all season long. Their point differential, plus 1, which was good enough for 5th in the conference. So they finished with one more point scored than allowed, which I think is just kind of very funny. Let's take a look at their record over the last 5 seasons. 2021, they finished 3-3. 2022, they had their best season in quite some time, going 6-2, only for it to end the same way it did in 2021 with a playoff loss to the Queens Gales. 2023, 4-4 is their record with a playoff loss to the Queens Gales. 2024, 4-4 is their record. 2025, 4-4 is their record. They have not made it out of the OUA quarterfinals since 2022. Let's talk about their 2026 outlook. And I'll be honest with you, until Ottawa wins a big game, I just can't believe in this team fully. Even when they were 6-2 back in 2022, they talked a lot of smack, but crumbled in the crunch against Western and Queens. Since then, we've seen some great things from the GGs, especially on defense, but they have managed to shoot themselves in the foot when it mattered most. Costly interceptions 2023, 2024, and 2025. It has been killing them over those last 3 years. I will be doubting, maybe underrating Ottawa until I am given a reason not to. So looking at their schedule, I have them winning against Waterloo, Toronto, and York, but I have them losing to Laurier, Guelph, Queens, Carleton, and Western. It'll be a toss-up between them and McMaster for the final playoff spot, but I do think Ottawa will get that last spot thanks to their outstanding defense. It's always a strong unit, and I think that will be the same in 2026, but I have them finishing 3-5, finishing 7th in the OUA, getting that final playoff spot.
This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. The intersection of Toronto Street and Park Street will be closed daily for the installation of an all-way stop by a city contractor. Earl Street from Collingwood Street to Victoria will be closed July 27th to July 30th for manhole repair. Princess Street from Bagot to Ontario will be closed all day on Saturday, August 1st for the Princess Street Promenade. Wright Crescent at Palace Road is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive is closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are still in the midst of a major reconstruction of Princess Street. This infrastructure project provides upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street to Queen is still closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. And Bath Road from Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Ave. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing IPS at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. Signals are being installed at Bath Road and LaFleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, July 29th, 23 is your high with more rain in the forecast and 84% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 16 overnight. Thursday, July 30th, 24 degrees with cloudy conditions and a 55% chance of precipitation is your forecast, dropping down to 16 overnight. Friday, July 31st, the last day of the month of July, looks like a beautiful one here in Kingston. 27 is your high, feeling closer to 32, with lots of bright sunshine, a UV index of 9. Saturday, August 1st, 26 degrees is your high, with a mix of sun and cloud, looks like a beautiful day to take in the Princess Street Promenade. Make sure you stop off and say hello to CFRC, we will have a booth there on Princess Street. Sunday, August 2nd. 25 degrees is your high with a 60% chance of precipitation, including a thunderstorm risk in the afternoon. And kicking off the start of next week, Monday, August 3rd, 26 is your high with a 55% chance of rain.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly fun, there is lots happening around Kingston this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday features the United Way's Mega Bike Community Ride, a lunch and learn at Cultivate Arts Commons, silent reading, the Solar Punk Writing Lab, games in the square, and a free screening of Guardians of the Galaxy in Springer Market Square. Music includes Sam Wood at the Bank Gastro Bar, Sean McCullen at the Cove Inn, Christopher Jackson at Creekside Bar, Taylor Donaldson Orchestra at the City Hall Amphitheater, plus open mic nights at both Timeout Bar and Hotel Wolf Island. On Thursday, browse the Kingston Public Market, enjoy stories in the square, and bring your own craft, or an Indigenous beadwork workshop at the Central Library. You can also catch a free screening of The Wedding Singer, or head to the Queen's Family Night at Elbow Lake. Live music includes Will Spence, Taryn McKenna, and Vince DeBeal, David James Allen and the Growing Machine, Barn Swallow, J.S. Miller, and The Hideaways. Friday includes meditation in the gallery, Spanish conversation sessions, and kicking it country at City Hall Amphitheater. Music highlights include King of Swingers at the Cove Inn, Courtney Kane, Three's Company at Spearhead Brewing, Kristen St. Pierre at the Waterfront Concert Series, Christopher Jackson, Painted Moons, Bon Evans, and Chump Worsley at the Toucan. Heading into Saturday, don't miss the Princess Street Promenade, the Montreal Street Vintage Market, and the Mini Market Series, Chef Dimon's Saturday Sessions, and the KFPL's Emancipation Day Programming. Live music includes Jeff Callery at the Cove Inn, the Blue Skies Music Festival, the Waterfront Concert Series, Indian Classic Music at the Sphere, and Dr. Bombay at the Turnanog. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns alongside yoga in Battery Park and jazz brunch at Dog Black Dog. Music includes Scotty and the Naughties, John McLurg, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, and the Blue Skies Music Festival Day 2. That is your weekly events and concerts calendar for July 27th through August 2nd. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. The events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.